Demand for housing in Washington, D.C. is going through the roof. Over 1,000 people move into the city every month, driving up the cost of housing, and they're turning the nation's capital into a construction zone. Tower cranes piercing the sky above the city's streets have become so common, they're just part of the background. But as fast as the cranes have gone up, demand for housing is rising even faster, making D.C. among the most expensive places to live in the United States. And one innovation whose time has come shows just why the demand for housing is far from being met.
I kind of got driven down the tiny house road because of affordability, simplicity, sustainability, and then mobility. Tiny houses are very cheap to build. You can build one of these for $10,000. You can build one for $30,000, $40,000, $50,000, but they definitely come in far beneath the cost of a regular home, especially in a city like D.C. They're very sustainable. They take very little energy to heat or cool. So having a space that I could hook up to solar, that I could catch rainwater and use for a simple shower and sink, was very, very appealing to me. They are mobile because many of them are built on wheels. And the reason they're often built on wheels is because it then escapes a lot of the kind of coding requirements, which these homes would violate, not because they're unsafe places to live, but because the minimum size of a room, must be 120 square feet. And if these homes are 120 square feet altogether, you then have, obvious issues.
This is not a tiny house. It's the Office of Zoning, the Zoning Commission, the Zoning Administrator, the Board of Zoning Adjustment, and the Office of Planning, which, along with the Department of Consumer and Regulatory Affairs, implements, adjudicates, and enforces 34 chapters and 600 pages of regulations governing property use and building requirements in the nation's capital. The director of the city's Office of Planning, Ellen McCarthy, described the problem with allowing tiny houses in the city. We need some level of controls so people aren't setting up squatter camps in alleys. We're trying to recognize that people's situations require a variety of different living arrangements. And so the zoning authorities have allowed a few experiments in affordable housing, like this apartment made entirely from shipping containers. But the city is constrained by a zoning ordinance that was drawn up in 1958. That's 56 years of cultural change and building innovations, like tiny houses, that the code wasn't designed to address. And for small builders like Jay Austin, getting a special exemption from the zoning authorities could cost tens of thousands of dollars and years of time with no guarantee of success.
The proposed changes to the zoning rewrite won't affect what we're doing at all. Tiny homes on wheels are still a little bit further out, probably many years out, if not decades out. It's totally legal to buy one of these and to park it somewhere. And really, it only becomes illegal once you, potentially illegal once you step inside and say, this is my home. We could leave these houses on the lot, I imagine, for 20 years and there wouldn't be any issue with it, but if we declared these are full-time residencies, then there would be a little bit more trouble, perhaps.
The laws that keep Jay Austin from living in his own home have their genesis in New York City's zoning resolution of 1916. For the first time in history, committees of urban planners began to reshape an entire American city. They split up skyscrapers to provide more sunlight on the streets below. Industrial factories were separated from residential property. Immigrant communities were kept apart from neighborhoods of the elite. And when the Supreme Court ruled these laws didn't violate property rights, zoning quickly spread to every major city in America. Every city, that is, except for one.
Houston, for me, is an experiment. It's an experiment in overt capitalism, and therefore very much at home in Texas. There is a kind of libertarian way of thinking here. It's much more alive in a way, much more organic than a typical zoned city that is more restricted by these very old-fashioned measures that no longer are viable. If you live in an unzoned city, you have to develop a dialogue of negotiation. And that, of course, we have seen in our country is not easy to come by. I have architect friends that have to operate in places like Berkeley, where the zoning board, it's sort of like a group of estheticians without training and say, no, that's no good, this is good, this is Berkeley, this is not. And this sort of, it's silliness, but has enormous economic consequence, is operating in those places. While here, you can almost get away with anything.
Anything, like a house clad entirely in beer cans. In Houston, a few simple laws govern lot sizes and setbacks from the street. There's even a new historical preservation ordinance. But for the most part, developments are regulated by private covenants and deed restrictions. And without city codes, committees, or planners to regulate land use, all sorts of creative expression are possible. When architects began to build homes out of corrugated metal, a cheap material associated with poverty in trailer parks, no one had the authority to stop them. As it turned out, not only were tin houses economical, they also kept homes cool by reflecting sunlight during Houston's sweltering summers. Today, tin houses are cherished as a unique Houston innovation. Whether it's a tin house in Houston or a McMansion in McAllen, homes in the sprawling state of Texas will always be cheaper than the densely populated Northeast. But compared to the rest of the Sun Belt, where cities are zoned and the land is plentiful, unregulated Houston is still the most affordable large city in America.
I totally agree that regulation is about preventing bad things from happening.
Houston's success in creating affordable housing for the middle class is one reason why the city is disparaged by the one group whose job it makes obsolete. Urban planners like Harriet Tregoning, formerly of the Washington, D.C. Office of Planning.
I hate to make Houston the whipping boy, right?
Oh, go ahead.
But, you know, that's a place that doesn't have zoning. It doesn't have regulation, and it's not exactly the full flower of urbanism.
Two hours down the Gulf Coast from Houston is Victoria, a city that hasn't had zoning since it was founded 190 years ago. And the most unusual thing about Victoria is that it's not very unusual at all.
I don't notice anything greatly different about Victoria and the look that Victoria portrays and the look that they have in San Antonio, Austin, or Houston. So property rights in Texas are sacred. You can do what you want to do with your property. And I think most of the people here in Victoria want to protect that right. The city's growth and land use is based more on economics and the will of the owner, rather than some quasi-governmental body that you have to ask permission from. East of town was a rendering plant where they took dead animals and processed them. The people that were in favor of zoning would say, well, what if there's a rendering plant next to your house? Economics dictate that you're not going to put a rendering plant next to a residential subdivision. Economics dictates that you're going to build a shopping center on a major thoroughfare. It's worked very well in Victoria for a number of years, and I trust will continue to do so.
Now, it's true, if you look hard enough in Victoria or in Houston, you can find the odd high-rise poking out of a low-density neighborhood. And sometimes economics dictates that you'll have to eat your butterscotch dilly bar next to the bail bondsman. But tolerating a little disharmony, a dash of kitsch, and the occasional strip club in a strip mall along the Texas Gulf Coast is a small down payment on the right to be the architect of your own life. Because if you're Jay Austin, you can build the home of your dreams. You just can't live there. For now, his tiny house is a part-time residence and a full-time showpiece to present to the public in the hopes of changing a zoning committee that hasn't updated a zoning code in 56 years.